Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Mr. Pick Me and the Man Hater show. I just want to apologize ahead of time. Chesco and I both can't breathe, and we're coughing. But we're here to do the show today. I'm your host, Reagan, aka the Man Hater, even though I don't hate men, and Chesco is...
Oh, you know what I forgot to tell you in the pre-show? I almost murdered someone with avocados. Sorry, I'm Chesco. That was a story I wanted to share in the pre-show. I'll share it now on the show, but I'm Chesco, Mr. Pick Me.
What? You can't start a show going, I almost killed someone with avocados.
I went to dinner with a bunch of mom creators and another, not one non-mom. But they were in town, like they had like they called it the mom's trip to California.
Nice.
And I'm like mutuals with all of them. And it was funny. My wife thought it was funny. She was like, oh, you always get jealous. Like, I always joke because they always go on these cool mom nights at home. And I'm always like, that's so fun. I don't want to hang out with dad. Don't do anything fun. I want to go with the mom's nights out.
Now look.
And she said, so I think it's cute that you made your own mom's night out. But we were all at dinner, and it came up that one person said, because we were looking at the menu, and one person was like, I can't eat avocado. I'm allergic to avocado. And like 10 seconds later, my ADHD brain, the server comes over, everyone's ordering. And I was like, oh, do you guys want guacamole? Let's get some guacamole. Can I have some guacamole?
Guacamole all around.
And it was just, and they put it, and he leaves, and they start laughing. And she was like, she was allergic to. I was like, oh, no. Is this going to hurt you? Do we need to call it? She's like, no, I just can't eat it. And I was like, okay.
Sorry. So, party foul.
So I almost murdered someone with avocados.
It happens to the best of us.
In other food news, I'm going to be gaining some weight. So
it's just, what's happening?
Oh, that I don't care. About? This is, we're going to go off the rails. Might as well start off the rails. So I'm Salvadorian. I've mentioned it before. Every time I mention it, people are like, what? and I'm first generation.
Name one person that's gone, what?
That's how I read all the comments whenever I mention it. And people are like, I didn't know you were Salvadorian. I read it as, well, I didn't know you were Salvadorian.
Scoob.
Scoobs. And so
maybe Scooby's Salvadorian. We don't know.
Yeah. And so the food that El Salvador is known for is pupusas, right? And so I know how to make my own with curtido. It's very good, but it takes a long time. It's basically an arepa, sorry. All right, here's another cultural
food. Talk to me like I'm the whitest person you know.
Okay. You take, it's basically like a, this is not what it is, but this is basically it's like a stuffed quesadilla.
Okay.
Right, so you take masa and you have mm-hmm. you have fillings in the inside of it.
Sure.
With cheese being the main. But it's like the pupusas specifically mm-hmm. are like the cultural food of El Salvador. There's other ones too, nice. But that's like the, when everyone thinks of El Salvador, they think of pupusas. And so mm-hmm. I've been looking for a good, in the Bay Area where I'm from, there's a big Salvadorian, for whatever reason, I don't know the history behind it, immigrant population. And so there's a lot of pupuserias where you can find amazing oh, nice. Ones. And so I grew up happy and content eating my favorite food. And then I moved to Arizona. Didn't in the 8-7 years, how long was I there? However long I was there, mm-hmm. never found a single place that made them good. I'm sure there was a place that had them.
I didn't discover it.
And mm-hmm. I kept getting people like, oh, you should try this one. They have pretty good ones. And they're like, and they're fine. And this is going to sound racist, but it's not. But like, it's when it's a Mexican restaurant making Salvadorian food. And mm-hmm. I think people think that like, oh, well, it's all Central American. But it's not. It's different. Like, you can tell
right. sure.
that it's a Salvadorian. Like,
right.
like there's a, I don't know why it tastes different. It just does.
Sure.
And so, so I couldn't find a place. And I moved to LA and there's some places I found that were further away from where I live, but in my city. Mm-hmm. There's not been any that I found that there might be of the ones I've tried. And so I kind of just gave up and I just make them myself when I'm really hungry. But it takes a long time to make, especially the topping you put on top of the cotido. It takes like a week to make it properly. You have to let it cure and it's a whole.
Jesus.
It's great. It's amazing. And so
I bet.
You can make it right away, but it tastes better when you leave it in the fridge, in my opinion, for like a week. Anyway, so there's a place that opened up near my house. Like, not like right near my house, but like it's on – when I'm driving home, I drive by it, like where the area is. And it's called Give Me Some Pupusas. That's the name of the restaurant. And I was like
– You're like
– I mean, I was like, this sounds amazing. And I followed them, and like the owner followed me back, and he was like, hey, thanks for supporting. And I was like, hell yeah. If these are good, I'm going to support the hell out of you. And he invited me to the – they had like a pre-launch, and I couldn't go, and I felt so shit. I was like, oh, God, I'm so upset. So I went on a grand opening, and it was so packed, which I'm so happy about because that means I'm going to stay around, hopefully.
Right.
And so I ordered. It was like an hour-long wait. Brought it home, and I came home prepared to be disappointed. I was not. It was great, and I ate so much. And it happened to be on the day where I ate nothing throughout the day, so I didn't even have to feel any guilty conscience about eating so much food. Not that you should ever feel guilty about what you eat, but I do feel guilty sometimes. Anyways, so I will be eating there.
Every day.
I mean, I'm going to wait because the line was like until it dies down a little bit. Once it dies down a bit, that's going to be my daily.
I have a new fixation.
Like I will be fixated on them quite thoroughly for going forward because it tastes like Salvadorian food. And I'm so excited to order from them. And that has nothing to do with what we're talking about today.
No, you'd actually. What you're talking about is that you had a love for something that you couldn't mm-hmm. find and you're happy to find it. This is mm-hmm. something we all have a hate for that we've just mm-hmm. uncovered. And that is...
The Salvadorian icon, Timothy Chalamet. Theme song.
It's time.
It's time.
It's time.
So grab your popcorn, thank me later. Don't want to miss it. Yay!
The most French name.
Chalamet.
Timothy Chalamet.
Timothée.
Timothée. Oh, God. We're talking about Timothy Chalamet and his bullshit statements about the ballet. But I want to talk about the bigger picture, the context of his statements, the fall from grace, in my opinion, of this guy, mm-hmm. and like why it matters. Because mm-hmm. I think just based on his statement, you can see that like it's a shit statement, like regardless. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. people are trying to brush it off. And it's like, no, there's actually a reason why it's so bad because it is a really good example about what happens mm-hmm. when men start to get a little power and they get mm-hmm. in these ego trips, like how quick they are to like disparage mm-hmm. and devalue and degrade like mm-hmm. their own family members, women, things that are perceived as feminine, mm-hmm. which I 100% think he's trying to put himself like in this like masculine, mm-hmm. aggressive, it's like manosphere yeah. feeling. Like even if you look at the way he's rebranded his look, like he used mm-hmm. to be like almost ethereal, you know, like with mm-hmm. the coiffed hair and like he was like very fashion forward. Like mm-hmm. he had very unique pieces all the time and like Parisian, like you could like there's a feel mm-hmm. like a like there's just just like artistic value to the way he used to present. And now mm-hmm. he's like, he's got like a soul patch, shaved his hair off. I'm like, yeah.
And
bro.
I don't think this is I want to be clear. This is more lighthearted episode. I don't think this is a cancelable take on like some, like this is not a saying.
I think he's a D-bag. I don't
right,
think.
Right. I don't know. I don't personally know enough about him in general, but I do think it's a shitty, I think it's, Here's where I think it's such a direct parallel, especially to manosphere talking points, mm-hmm. is because I've seen people. I was kind of laughing at how much it mirrors when guys like are really shitty talking about what women they won't date.
Yep,
and they're like, it's just a preference. What, a guy's not allowed to have preferences? What kind of world are we living in when we're not allowed to have preferences? It's like, mm-hmm. yeah, that's not what the fuck we're talking about. Right? There's ways to express, like, I'll be, I'm a huge supporter of the arts, right? Mm-hmm. I think ballet and opera, I think have huge value, artistic value.
Of course.
Right? Do I personally really love opera? No, I've gone. Like my wife and I, one of our first dates, we went to see Pirates of Penzance. And I can appreciate Gilbert and Sullivan. I appreciate the cultural impact of it. I'm very impressed by the actual art of doing opera. It's not something that I personally spend a ton of time. Same thing. I don't like Shakespeare. I'm not a big fan of Shakespeare. I can still appreciate the impact that he's had. I can appreciate the cultural aspect of all of that goes into those sort of things, right? There's lots of things you can not have a preference for. And there's a difference between like not having a preference for something and being like, this is fucking shit. And you should feel bad if you like it. You should.
Here's the thing, though. This is where context is important for Timothy. Okay, so let's start with his quote.
Okay? Sure.
He was doing an interview with Variety. Now, mind you, this is not the first time he's made quotes about the ballet. He's actually had several almost identical quotes, which to me says this is a soundbite. This is almost a bit at this point. This is something he said over and over, almost verbatim. So it's like when someone repeats a phrase a lot, like there's some type of value to them. Like they get something out of saying it, or they get something out of the way it makes them feel, or the way they think they're seen for saying it, right? So
real quick, I will say ballet, on the other hand, I think is fucking magic. I could watch ballet for hours. It is when they like, especially like the toe walking, the point. It's like I'm watching a fucking magician work. I cannot help but be utterly fascinated by the smooth, like it is, my body doesn't work that way. I am the least.
Few bodies do.
Like there is nothing, but especially mine.
Well, I did competitive dance. I did competitive ballet. I did point for a little bit. Watch out. Point for a little bit, and then I was like, I'm going to damage my feet. I'm not doing this.
Yeah.
This is painful. And I sing a little bit of opera. I know some opera singers. I love opera. Like, I love hearing it. I love it. Like, it doesn't – it's not even the point.
Right.
But I do I do have a personal reason that I have strong feelings towards both of these things.
Right.
So here's what he said. So he's talking to Matthew McConaughey. Now, again, not the first time he said it.
But for the record, everybody, that was not a sound clip. That was me.
That was Chesco.
That was me doing an absolutely iconically perfect
interpretation. We'll get to the quote at some point.
Yes.
Someday. We'll get there.
No, we won't.
Please.
Please tell me your quote.
I don't have much breath in my lungs. Please. Okay. He said, and mind you, he's like kicked back in a chair. He's like leaning back. It's very nonchalant. He's like, I don't want to be working in the ballet or opera, you know, things where it's like, hey, keep this thing alive, even though it's like no one cares about this anymore. So that's the same.
No, just so everyone knows, too, that was not a sound clip of Timothy Chalamet. That was Reagan doing an impression. I just want to make sure this is an audio also podcast. So,
you know what's crazy? I have a deeper voice than Timothy Chalamet. I have a much huskier voice.
I think above and beyond everything, I'm so fucking tired of how much we only talk about the value of something by how much it serves capitalistic ventures.
Well, hold on. Let me keep that, because he actually says something after that. He says, all respect to the ballet and opera people out there. And then he goes, I just lost 14 cents in viewership. So to your point of capitalism, like clearly to Timothy Chalamet, like he's seeing people and the ballet community as dollars and cents versus like impact. Go ahead.
In both ways. Like you're right. That's a double way of talking about it. Like, it's not going to cost me money. Who am I going to offend by of the people that I, and also like, because it goes with so many things. Like, and it's something I've unpacked as an adult a lot in like hobbies, even like where I so many times in my life I've given up on hobbies. So I'm like, well, I can't make money off of this, or I'll start getting really good at something, and immediately my brain's like, how can I profit off of this, right? And the part of that is poverty trauma that goes into that as well. But I think it's just our cultural aspect of just like, oh, if you can't make money off of this, then it doesn't actually have any inherent value. And that's not to say there people can't make money off of ballet and opera, but I do think that it's when you only discuss something and that's the only facet you care about, then why create any art? Why not just use AI to create everything?
Well, Matthew McConaughey is pushing a company that does AI, so that's interesting. But like, what's weird to me is like, I feel like Timothy has made like a huge error in how he's talking about things, because like he's often referring to himself as like an artist. He talks about being hardworking a lot. You know, his idols include people like Marlon Brando and Daniel Day-Lewis. Mm-hmm. And yet, like he's you know, putting like being an artist on a pedestal while simultaneously devaluing the arts and trying to be like a businessman go-getter Marty Supreme. And it's like, you can't do both. You can't want to be this artist who cares about the craft while saying your viewers are dollars and cents. That's, the two don't go together. You can't be all about the bag and claim to be this great artist. Like, the two are in direct conflict with each other. And I think that's why he's having such a problem, is he's trying to be this like cool guy, manosphere, I make bank, like Kardashian inspired guy. And it's like, I thought you were not, you can't be both. So aside from that, what I think is so frustrating is, let's get into his family history. Do you know his family history?
His Salvadorian family or his French family?
His Salvadorian roots.
Yes. I do not know.
Okay. So I get really annoyed because people are saying all he said was that it's like a dying art or something. I'm like, no. The quote was, keep this thing alive, even though it's like no one cares about this anymore. That is what he said about the ballet. Okay. So his family, he was raised in the ballet. His mother was on Broadway, but she was also a dancer in the New York City Ballet. His sister was a dancer in the New York City Ballet. His grandmother was a dancer in the New York City Ballet, okay?
Wow.
So he talks about, there was an interview for Marty Supreme where he's like, I'm a Venn diagram of culture because I grew up in the wings of the New York City Ballet. It's like, Oh, so it has merit and value when it's used to build your own ego off of, when it's used to show how cultured you are. But when you're, you know, shooting the shit with McConaughey, all of a sudden it doesn't have value. That's fucking crazy. Can you imagine disparaging the art form that you grew up in like that publicly? Mm-hmm. Like your mother's life work, your sister, your grandmother's just being like, nobody cares about this anymore. What?
I mean, like, Thanksgiving will be awkward.
So, Timothy, I heard you did an interview on Variety. Tell us.
I do think it was an interesting Salvadorian accent there. I'm going to let that joke die now.
That was I think there's a little French in there. That was me doing an American mom, but whatever.
But I also think it's different between someone, like if it was his mom, who's worked as a trained professional ballerina at some point, saying it feels like this art is dying and people aren't supporting it. There's a difference between that and that versus someone who, regardless of his connection to them, is still an outsider in the sense that he has not lived that experience, trashing their art, right? And that, because that is a huge, there's a lot of nuance that happens in these where people are, and once again, this is less about Timothy and more about the discussion, I think, that surrounded it that comes after. Because I do think it would be silly to like be like, I told my wife beforehand, I was like, oh, we're going to talk about Timothée Chalamet's discussion. She was like, for a whole episode? I was like, let's be honest. We're not really going to talk about it. There's a lot. It's not just that.
No.
That goes into it. It's the same as like me making jokes about El Salvador right now as a first generation Salvadorian versus somebody that is making jokes about it as someone that is just that's not connected to the culture. Right? There are in-group jokes are different than out-group discussions about certain things. And I think that is an important aspect of this also, where it feels like punching down versus punching up, right? Because you're trashing an industry that an art form that is struggling to bring people into it, that is struggling to remain relevant in our modern day culture.
Well, and it's also just this idea of like, it reminds me of the Hughes brothers in the locker room where they laughed about having to bring the women's team, the other Olympic gold team, because it's like, your mother is an icon. Mm-hmm. Like your mother works with the team. Like this is your family, this is your friends. It's like how quickly these men will degrade the women around them. And I think that
for cool points.
For bro points too. All right. Matthew McConaughey. Mm-hmm. Like it really did feel like that.
You're doing the McConaughey impression from now on. ADHD is ADHDing so bad. Go ahead.
I know. It's all right. But like point being, it gets old. Like I can't okay, so let me add another fact into this. Let me add this. So
hold on. Listening.
What?
I'm listening.
God damn it. Chesco?
I'm in a cheeky bit of a mood today. I apologize.
A cheeky bit of a mood?
I'm feeling a bit cheeky today and I'm having fun.
I cannot. Okay.
Go on.
Stop it. This is serious. Do you know who Misty Copeland is?
Yes, of course I know who Misty Copeland is. We watch her ballet videos of my daughter a million times.
Okay,
we have her book. There's a children's book about her. Anyways,
incredible dancer.
So sorry, I thought you were looking at me like, are you fucking with me?
I was. I realized she's the El Salvadorian president or whatever.
Because of this discussion, I realized, and how I've been acting, I realized me saying, of course I know, it absolutely sounds like I'm being sarcastic.
I never know.
Misty Copeland is an icon, and I absolutely think she's wonderful.
She was the first black principal dancer in the American Ballet Theater. Mm-hmm. So... And like, if you know anything about ballet and like how white and like how, what a feat that is. Like, she is incredible. She's literally a legend. She's beautiful, amazing, lovely, all the things. Her dancing, go watch it online. You might cry. I will. So
I wish I could show a video right now. We have pandemic videos during lockdown of my daughter dressed in her full like ballet leotard dancing in front of the we had Misty's videos her like trying to be like, I wish I could show it, but we don't show our kids online.
Okay,
anyways, I'll show you.
I feel like this might make you mad then. Mm-hmm. So she was interviewed about this happening after it happened. She actually cried. In an interview when she was talking about it, because Timothy reached out to her to support Marty Supreme. There's a photo of her in a Marty Supreme windbreaker that he personally reached out to her, according to her, and asked her to help promote it. So she does the photo. Marty Supreme's official page posts it. Allegedly, he said he wanted her because of how much he, quote unquote, respects the art. Imagine, you don't have to imagine because she's crying talking about it. So, how she must have felt after being asked to promote the film and then see this jackass talking to Matthew McConaughey about how nobody wants the ballet.
Right.
What an asshole. And it makes you think like, It, do you know what it felt like to me? It felt like guys who are like nice to you in private and the jackasses mm-hmm. in public. Because mm-hmm. like clearly the ballet means something to him for him to have personally reached out in that way. Like it's not mm-hmm. like it's specifically linked to Marti Supreme. I don't know if it's because she's like such an incredible icon in a sport and like ping pong. Again, ballet mm-hmm. will far surpass anyone's interest than ping pong, but that's another mm-hmm. argument for another day. Like, I don't know. I don't know why, but it's like it clicked.
I mean, globally, ping pong is pretty popular. It is. It's a very popular sport. I'm not comparing it to ballet. I'm just saying.
I'm saying ballet.
We don't need to trash ping pong, Reagan, to make this point. I'm just saying the ping pong community is going to come after us.
Are you going to contribute anything to this podcast today other than nonsense?
Go on.
Point being, I don't even know what my point is anymore. No, point being like, I feel like the ballet, it had to, it, like, personally, like, I think it must actually have some value to him.
Right, right.
And so to me, it feels like he's just, like, trashing to be cool. Mm. That's what it felt like to me.
And, like, was there a reason for it? I didn't even research this.
They were talking about, like, the longevity of film and, like, but, like, he has said that exact quote at least 3 times. Where he's like, I thought it was going to be, film was going to be a dying art, like ballet or opera. Mm-hmm. Sometimes he just says opera. But he says that soundbite over and over. So I'm like, you're getting something out of it. And then in this context, when he gets the laugh, which that's why I think this was a bit to him. Like, you know those dudes who will say the same joke 100 times and they finally get a laugh and they're like, yes!
Yes!
That's what it felt like because he said what he said a million times. Like, again, it's almost verbatim. Like, it's very rare that you repeat yourself in that way unless it's like a thing you're thinking of, right? A soundbite or bit. So he says it and then he says, oh, I just lost 14 cents in viewership and keeps laughing because the audience gives him a laugh. McConaughey gave him a laugh, which shame on McConaughey as well. And then he's like, and like mocks opera singing and gets a laugh. I'm like, are you 12? Like, dude. But like, that's why I think you don't just say things to say them. Like when you were like, I've talked about this online, but I saw an interview where this woman was, I think she was on Myron Gaines' podcast or something. Mm-hmm. And she's like, what do you get out of it? Like, what do you get out of degrading women? Because you do it a lot. You get something out. How does it make you feel? Like, what is it that makes you, do you feel like a big man? Like, it was really good. She tore his ass apart. And then she like, I can't even say what she called him. She's like, when I call you up, beep, 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 I get something out of it. It makes me feel good. It's like, oh my God. But anyways, point being, when you say like, men who repeatedly disparage things or women or the arts, whatever it is, there's a reason they're doing it. They're getting something out of it. So it's like, what is it, Timothy? Like, what do you get? Like, what do you get from repeatedly devaluing this art form and mocking it? He said, nobody cares. Like, this art form that you were raised in. Like, what is it to you?
And that's the kind of, especially, because there is truth behind it, quote unquote, dying in the sense that there is less support for it. There's less funding for it. It's less available now. When that's a truth, why are you like actively, are you campaigning for less funding to go into it? What we need, and one thing I've advocated for years, as many people do, is like I think one of the issues with things like, and it goes for musical theater, it goes for opera, it goes for ballet, it goes for symphony, it goes for all of the higher arts, is there are class-based issues where poor kids don't get access to them.
Right.
And that's, there was so much of like my life where I didn't even know it existed. And I think part of the reason why I have trouble with certain types of art forms or finding enjoyment in it is because I didn't see it until I was an adult, right? It wasn't part of what I grew up with versus if I was, you know, had access as a 8-year-old going to see some of the, you know, seeing the Nutcracker, seeing things like that, that weren't $100 a ticket, then I would be more, even like, I remember there was a program at one point for musical theater where everyone in the audience were like kids going to their first musical theater show, where, and they beforehand, before the show, I think it was a youth, it was a, I think this was Child's Play in Arizona. It's like a kid's musical theater, or theater for youth, not youth theater, where before the show started, they had a person come out and explain to them, okay, here's how you react during during the show. Here's when you want to be quiet during the show. It's okay to clap at this point. It's okay to do, but to do things. Here's what I want you all to do right now. Move in your chairs right now. I don't want you to do that during the actual show. Don't try to talk to the character.
Sure.
But like, stuff like that, if you were exposed to it and you got access to something like that as a child, then when you are an adult going to these or getting access to it, it wouldn't, you know, you wouldn't be, because part of it is like a fear of going to. I remember the first time I went to a formal thing, I was like, how the fuck am I supposed to dress? How am I supposed to talk? How am I supposed to act? What am I supposed to do? Because I'd never gone to certain things. So there's part of, I think, the dislike of things is a discomfort in not feeling welcome, not feeling like this is for you. And I think if we did more to encourage the arts and give money to the arts and support it and bring kids that are in poorer areas, especially to see these cultural events and these big things, then we would have a more, it wouldn't be a dying art form, but that's where we are. Because also people don't see art as something we should be spending money on because it's art.
100%.
When artists do paid ads or anything like that, they're like, oh, what the fuck are you doing? You're an artist. You're not supposed to be doing that.
And I think, like, again, it's like, it's not the conversation that's – like, it's not the point of, okay, well, it's a dying art. It's not that. It's how he said it. It's what he chose to say, what he chose to highlight, the flippancy with which he said it. Like, I mean, he's literally like, nobody wants this. Like, you're publicly having this conversation. Like, to what end? Like, what does it serve? What does it serve you? Like, and to me, like, it just very much felt like he's on this rebrand and, like, I'm going to put down – the arts, because in private, he's reaching out to like one of the best ballerina. Is it is ballerina, right?
I think it's the visual ballerina, right? Yeah,
one of the top ballet dancers ever. Like
ballistadors. I don't know if there's that.
What
I said.
Ballistadors.
Ballistador. I don't know if there's a special term for it.
Oh, ballistadori. Chesco. Anyways.
Watch that be like some insults.
We're going to get calls. Oh, my God. We didn't know. Chesco's just talking shit for no reason. But so did you hear his weird comments about having kids? Did you hear that?
No.
So not that long ago, I think it was this year, maybe it could have been last year, but it came out that he had these weird comments where he said that hearing child-free people, like, talk about their life without kids and, like, the advantages it has, he called it bleak, quote, bleak. And he knows some people can't have children and are never in a position to, but he believes procreation is the reason we're here.
Well, so he has fallen into that that pipeline even more so. Okay, I didn't know that. At first, I wasn't sure if this was just, like, an aside, but it sounds like he has
he's going down.
He's definitely...
Yeah, and that was with Vogue that he was saying that. I'm like, you said that to Vogue? Why? Yeah. But yeah, and then you pair him with, like, you know, he's with a Kardashian, which all they are is about money at any cost.
Right.
Literally, they've made themselves, they're malleable to whatever the ideal is. Like, you know, it's all about presentation. It's all about money. It's all about business. And that's who he's paired with. That's who I don't know if I think they're still together or he's been paired with. And it's like, you just see, like, it is so weird because if you look at his past interviews, like, I watched one where he was literally like, oh, you know, like, I'm sure you guys are wishing I was a bigger star. Like, I'm just, you know, just Timothée Chalamet, like, you know, really humble. And, like, he would say, you know, it was almost like eager to be here, like, very sweet seeming in interviews. And then all of a sudden there's been this just huge shift. And it's like, it's just sad to see how quick these type of guys go to, like, again, disparaging and devaluing. Like, the people who, like, the women who raised him, the community that raised him, like, that's his that's who he grew up with. Like, that's that's where he's, like, interested in the arts. Like, it's just, it's more so, like, watching that is upsetting. Mm-hmm. Like, the comment is annoying, but it's, like, the context of the comment makes it just, like, ugh, bro. Mm-hmm. Like what do you get out of this? Because, like, I feel like what he had to offer was, like, truth be told, haven't watched any of his films, but I have seen bits of his films. And, like, I feel like he can do vulnerability really well. I feel like he was kind of artsy. I feel like that's what made him unique. And, like, I feel like he's just thrown out everything that made him special. And to be, like, this bro, like, there was a quote where he's like, it was actually in French. I don't know what he was at, but he was, like, saying how he's the hardest working actor he knows. Just, like, how do you measure that?
But you've seen it a lot, and I think a lot of it is because, one, sometimes it's money, but you've seen it with a lot of people. Like, there was that that lawyer that I critiqued recently. I don't know if you ever saw the video about he, like, said working stay-at-home moms.
Oh, yeah, the one who was like, let's debate. And you're like, no, dude. No.
Yeah, and so he made a full-length video responding to my video about him.
He did?
Yeah, and the worst, I don't even want to, like, make the response, because I feel at this point he's trying to, like,
provoke you,
do that whole thing. Yeah, so that I can get, he's just trying to get views.
Yeah, right? Of course.
But, like, if you look back at his content from a couple years ago, he was actually posting some really reasonable things, like stuff about, like, men shouldn't feel sad to feel, like, emotions and compassion, and I was like, so I didn't even realize it was the same guy. I was like, oh, I remember there being a divorce lawyer. They actually had some pretty good takes at
one
point.
Can't be the same guy.
No, it didn't even. Yeah. And the worst. So he makes this. So he's, like, leaned heavily in. There's I'll link. There's a video. There's a creator named Therese. She's a lawyer herself. She's brilliant. I've followed her for a while. I think on TikTok is where I follow her. But she made a video responding to his video. She made a video responding to a video of a guy responding to James Sexton responding to me. It's a very meta video. But she
Inception.
So breaks. Yeah, but both her and the guy that responding to James were, like, ripping him apart, because, like, all of his responses to me were so very clearly, like, red pill coded. Of this very clearly leaning into all of these red pill talking points. And he kept on yelling at me for, like, not showing data when I actually cited my sources. And then he never, and they point this out, he never once cited a source.
Trust me, bro.
And his entire, yeah. And so it was a whole weird thing where it just felt, and it's like, he's like in this hyped up kind of whiny voice the entire time.
That's literally Timothy Chalamet's been doing is that, like, I'm the best worker and I deserve it. And you're like, childish, stop it.
Right.
Go ahead.
But you're seeing this happen with so many, like, older and younger guys where they're like, finally, now I can say this shit. Or, like, they'll hear whatever, or they're leaning into it because they realize there's a big money possibility there. Or for once, guys are telling them they're cool. Right. I feel like a lot of it is like these guys are like, the boys are saying I'm awesome for saying this stuff, and that's all I care about.
I got a laugh from McConaughey.
Yeah, but I do think that's a part of it. Is, like, they're seeking out this, like, this male approval.
I totally agree. I feel like with Tim, I feel like he's in this, like, absolute, like, conundrum, because it's like, I already said the one problem he has that's just not going to work out, which is you cannot be the hustler, go-getter. Like, he fucking thanked or was singing the praises of, what's his name? Kevin O'Leary, because he was in Marty Supreme. But he's like a shark from Shark Tank. Like,
yeah,
you know?
Oh, God, I fucking hate Kevin O'Leary. When you said it first, I thought of Kevin Nealon from Saturday Night Live, and I was like,
what?
No, I know. I don't. Yeah.
Isn't that his name, Kevin O'Leary?
Yeah, no, that's his name.
He's
the
king of the royalties,
he's the
right?
Fucking worst.
He's a dick.
He's terrible.
Apparently, Canada's like, we hate this guy. But he singing his praises, and it's like, you can't be the red pill hustle culture bro and the artist. Those right. are two separate, like two
they are competing,
polar opposite archetypes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's the same way how a lot of therapists say you can't be a therapist and conservative, right? There are certain things that like that certain tropes about like that and this is not me. I'm not a therapist, so I don't know. But I've heard literally a lot of people like that. Like some of the guiding points of being a therapist are in direct contradiction to conservative values. But that's my point. Is like there are certain things that there are conflicting things.
100%. It's like you can be one or the other, and they can. They're definitely both. You see success in acting with both of them. I mean, there are people who are successful actors that are just really good business brand people.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So, but he can't be both. And I think in his heart of hearts, he wants to be the artist. And so I'm like, dude, you're fucked. I don't like Timothy. Not a fan right now. But it's also like what's interesting of the position he's put himself in is I think he's trying to like assert masculinity and like dominance. Mm-hmm. Like I think he was inspired by Marty Supreme because people are like, it's method. He's in character. I'm like, that doesn't make sense. He's not – the character was from the 1940s or something. Like, he's not that guy in this interview. He's dressed normal. He's, like – he's just embodying the traits of that guy. He's not in character. That doesn't make any sense. Like, nobody does that. He's taking on it's almost like when Austin Butler wouldn't stop doing the damn accent. It's like he's taking on this trait. So – You see him doing it, but the problem is like he's trying to like assert his dominance. Like I'm the hardest working actor I know. He's like I'm one of the greats. I've been handing out seven years of great performances or whatever he says. And it's like he misses one of the pieces, which is like you can't be desperate, you can't be needy, you can't want it too much in order to like. To be one of those cool guys like Matthew McConaughey. Mm-hmm. Not that I'm a Matthew McConaughey fan, but he is someone I think men really like as a cool dude. He's a cool all right. He's a cool bro, right? And so like I feel like he's what Timothy misses is that this desperation is very off-putting. This need to prove himself, this need to get, it's like, in my video, I'm like, instead of all right, it's like, please, 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 you know? Cause it's like, give me, I need the validation, give it to me. Like, you're not coming off. Cool, go ahead.
I was like, do you know if Chalamet is method or like, does he?
I think he does some method stuff. His idols are all method.
Well, because I've heard a lot of people talking about how method is just an excuse to be abusive on set and an asshole.
Well,
yeah.
And it also is, Kristen Stewart had some excellent points about it. And I think Daniel Radcliffe talked about it as well. But it's this idea that like being an actor is inherently submissive because you're saying lines that aren't yours, wearing clothes that aren't yours, you're being a person that's not you, and you're being directed. You can act in it, but this is not yours. You're being moved around like a pawn, you know, in the eyes of like masculinity. But when you do method, you're, I am this person. I'm in control. I'm doing the things. I'm committed. Like
It's a way of asserting dominance in a submissive role. It's, yeah, that's interesting.
You're not making me do this. This, I am the character, which like is crazy because no, you're not. I can see it with like an accent or something. We're like, I understand. Like,
yeah, because you don't want to lose that.
Right.
Absolutely.
But certainly, whatever. But like treating everybody like shit because your method, that's wild behavior. But I think that's exactly what it is. And I think that would make sense why those are his idols. But it's like in this aggressive pursuit of tell me how good I am. Like he is losing any potential of gaining that because you can't show that you want it. You can want it, but you can't be desperate to have it because you immediately lose the cool guy status. You're never going to be the cool leading man when you have to, you're like so desperate to prove how cool you are.
I should note also, I'm going to do exactly what you made fun of me jokingly before the show. I'm certain there are nice method actors.
Just who's gotta make sure nobody's mad.
This is why so much of my writing has parentheses, because I'm always like my little side conversations, like side quests during every single essay I write always has paragraphs explaining what I said in that previous sentence. But it's like, it's what we're referring to are people who use method acting in, as an excuse to be an abusive individual.
Yeah.
Because their actions can't, you can't be mad at me. That wasn't me that treated you like shit. That was this character that I'm playing that treated you like shit mm-hmm. when we were grabbing lunch in between scenes. We very clearly are not living in the character's world.
When I screamed at you, no, that's 100% the case. Like, if you want to be, I don't care if you're method, but when you're making everybody's like, days harder, you're abusive to the crew.
Miserable as a result of you, yeah.
Yeah, when you're Jared Leto making the crew carry you to the bathroom mm-hmm. or do crutches to the restroom because you're paralyzed or you have, mm-hmm. I forget what, in Morbius he had some reason that, or blood mm-hmm. disease or something, whatever. When you're holding a production to be crutched mm-hmm. or wheeled to the bathroom. Yeah, no, that's mm-hmm. that's a different thing. And I think it is an act of wanting to be dominant and in control and seem like an artist. No, I am the mm-hmm. one who's making this. The choices mm-hmm. are mine. I am the person rather than you're telling me what to do. So mm-hmm. yeah, I think that's what's maybe going on with him. But again, like, if this is so off-putting to watch, like it's off-putting, mm-hmm. like he just looks like a little shit disturber, asshole boy. Like it's mm-hmm. it gives childish to me when he's like, mm-hmm. hey. Like I don't see you as a leading man in that sense. And I think the right. more he acts like this, like I don't think Timothée Chalamet, based on his work and his look and his general presence, I don't mm-hmm. think he was ever going to be like a guy's guy. Like his fan mm-hmm. base was not men. It was like, right. well, maybe some men, but I don't think it was predominantly men. I would guess it was predominantly women. The queer community really liked Timothy. Mm-hmm. I know like a lot of lesbians really liked Timothy. I don't know where the crossover is there, but now it's like, ooh. Yeah.
Well, it's kind of like how when Matt Rife, yes. Like when he was like, whoa, the people that like me aren't the people I want to like me. I did this for bros to accept me.
This is for the boys.
And now all my fans are women, which by the way, it almost ruined the reboot or the continuation of Scrubs when Matt Rife was a guest star on one of the episodes.
Oh my gosh. No.
Spoiler. Yeah. I was like, no.
Get him off.
Don't you write this? Better not be a recurring character. I don't know.
He was on it. Most recent episode.
Yeah. Ugh.
Vomit.
Anyways, that was an. Oh, speaking of famous people doing everything they can to cancel themselves, how about Hugh Jackman?
I've been on to that mother trucker.
You were.
I told you.
Never doubt Reagan's intuition on these guys.
Asshole
because.
Men.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, no, you're not going to do
I just, the second I
like
thought
death.
That, I was like, Reagan
tell
was
them
right.
what he did.
Well, I mean, this was his, reaffirmed his 15-year friendship with Ivanka and Jared, Ivanka Trump and Jared Kushner. And was he hanging out at Mar-a-Lago? Wasn't it? Or something
he
like that?
He sang, didn't he sing for Rupert Murdoch's birthday?
That's what it was. That's what it was. Sorry. Yeah. The thing was. Yeah,
Mar-a-Lago,
there's so many things going on.
Mar-a-Lago, Catherine Heigl's at Mar-a-Lago for a
Oh, that's
pet
what it was. That's what I'm confusing.
A
that's
pet
what,
event.
That's those are the two I was confusing.
He's right saying, "Let's look it up. Let's." We've got to get this right now.
Yeah. So, all right, Hugh Jackman saying at Rupert Murdoch's 95th birthday bash. So, I mean,
yep.
Thanks for that, Wolverine. God,
how
thanks
very
for that.
Un-Wolverine of you.
Javert.
Back to prison.
Curly from Oklahoma. We're going to go back. Going to ruin so many of my beloved things. I'm going to look at you and be like, ain't root for Wolverine now. Right?
Rupert Wolverine.
Can't root for...
Catherine Heigl, this woman, and I wanted her to be, like, because, mm-hmm. you know, she's kind of in the Anne Hathaway category, like, where... Mm-hmm. They may be assholes. Like I've heard Anne Hathaway is actually rude to staff, but like people that work different places. But mm-hmm. I think there's also
I can handle people being shitty. Like I don't that doesn't I don't there's people are assholes sometimes. I get over that. It's when it's the combination though of like you're an asshole plus apparently you're a terrible person. And not saying the assholes are not terrible people, but I think
I can't do rude to staff. I can't do rude to people at workplaces.
Fully agreed.
That one I can't do. That one's a full stop.
Yeah, no, no. But my point is, like, when it's rumors about stuff or something sure. like that, I'm not, as opposed to, like, very clear,
tangible
evidence.
Singing at Rupert Murdoch's.
Because there were people that fucking hate me online. They, if you were to just listen to, but not serves, not like servers, right? But like, you know,
no, it's they
like,
love you.
Yeah, I tip too
well.
But and that's why I'm always like, when I hear stories, I'm like, or who was the one saying it? How do we have? Yeah,
and that was exactly my point. Is like I always felt like there's also like the issue of like assertive women on set. With boundaries, because mm-hmm.
Right.
Catherine Heigl
women
has
especially, yeah.
had strong boundaries. I know Anne Hathaway was vocal as well. So mm-hmm. I was always like, you know, I don't know what's going on with that. So with her, I was like, I always wondered, because especially when she was famous was like a time when women were getting absolutely destroyed mm-hmm. for having boundaries and like not being abused. And then, so I'm like, you know, she never does photo ops. She's never anywhere. Mm-hmm. And now... Girl, no. You're going to show up at Mar-a-Lago. She's like, mm-hmm. she's like, dogs don't vote. What? What's that to do with anything? It's
I don't know. You have to like fucking have some sense of reading the room. No. Like, you know, but like of any sort of like, you know, I realize that this is good. I realize that the person who owns this place is likely – is a pedophile that is at war and funding murdering citizens and like destroying families and destroying communities. But let's talk about the dogs. Let's focus on it's like let's focus on his work as a painter. Get that mm-hmm. reference. It's like
also Christy Noem shot mm-hmm. her dog. Her 14-month-old dog mm-hmm. and bragged about it in her book. So if we're talking about, mm-hmm. it's all about the dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about that.
And that's what I'm saying. When it's demonstrable in that way, it's like, I'm not going to work. Cause I do work to try to unpack like, where did this come from? Well, and I think where, if anything, I do way too much work and like, why am I wrong? And to make sure I'm feeling correct on what I'm feeling right now, even though I'm almost always correct on this shit.
It just kills me that fucking Hugh Jackman, who he just he barely scraped by with the Sutton Foster, like barely made it out alive of that. Cause I was like, mm-hmm. you asshole. Cause he was obviously an asshole there mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. possibly a cheater. Mm-hmm. Seeming all signs point to cheating, but mm-hmm. so he barely scrapes out, and then he's like, happy birthday, Rupert.
I wanted to be canceled. The fuck?
Let me sing it, Rupert Murdoch.
You're not even an American. You're not even from here. You don't even go here, Hugh. Why
you
are you working
go home.
So hard to help the shittiest people here? You could have just lived on and been like, I'm Australian Hugh Jackman. Look at me. You're not required to make like visit like actual like have opinions about this stuff.
Like, hey Hugh,
you could have swept by.
It's like, hey Hugh, you know Hitler really needs a magician for his birthday. He's like,
say no more. Say no more. It's just for the birthday
prestige.
Part, though, right? The prestige. Oh my god.
I'm like, dude, how could like. It's almost like you had to think of what's the shittiest. And you know what it is, though? It's because there's fucking social media now. This mm-hmm. shit has always gone on, but now people take out their phones are like, what the hell? And then mm-hmm. they post it, and then they have to be like, oh, yeah, yes, I did. I did sing at Rupert Murdoch's birthday.
Yeah, sure. It's 20 years ago, even, people would have been able to like do shit like that, and there would be just be like, did you hear? They'd be like, no, that didn't
prove it.
Prove it. I don't know. Which
don't
goes back
to
like.
Me.
The whole aspect of like where when I hear somebody is a shitty person, like to your point about like it's often when a woman is not a pushover, right? When it comes, like it happens in education. Like if you ever read teacher reviews, for any woman that has been a professor, any gay man that's been a professor, any black man that's been a professor, any disabled individual that's been a professor, any trans person that's been a professor, like any of the you see this their reviews often. Are so much worse and so much harder to get good reviews from them simply not being from them simply being the exact same as every other white man professor that has the same job as them. But the same thing will be like, well, you know, this professor was hard, but I really felt it was just because he was so like passionate about the material he was teaching versus, God, could she be a little bit less B-I-T-C-H-E?
That vocal fry?
God, she dresses a little, like, she's dressing a little too revealing as, like making comments about the way they dress. Like, I've seen, because I've been on review committees, there'll be, like, people, like, saying, like, you know, it wouldn't hurt if she could do her hair more often. Like, they make comments about, like, she doesn't wear, like, she looks very tired when, like, there's, like, so many of these, like, reviews that are, like, that are so fucking sexist that, you know, and you know what happens with me? Nothing. It's just, like, he's
very
great.
Tall.
Not saying I'm not a bad teacher. I'm a bad teacher that deserves to get bad reviews. But it's like that's where you look at things. That's different than fucking this.
Now we know. I think we can close the book on Katherine Heigl.
Yeah,
and I'm sure she got paid to be there, huh? And who?
Yeah, and Hugh Jackman.
Oh, I have closed that book.
Yeah, that book was closed before.
Yeah, it was already closed. But I love when they make – honestly, I love when bad people make an ass of themselves. I just imagine
make
like,
it easier,
hello, Rupert. You're about
happy
dead.
Happy birthday to you.
He does the Maryland.
No, he would have to – no, it's Hugh Jackman. Happy birthday. With his extra vibrato from the forced vibrato. I have liked Hugh Jackman's performances. I was about to say I like Hugh Jackman. I was like, I have liked Hugh Jackman's performances, but now I feel more comfortable laughing at the people that make fun of the fact that he is
putting it on
so
strong.
Over. Yeah, yeah.
I feel like that might have been one of your best impressions.
Thank you.
That was good about it. Hugh Jackman singing.
Once again, for the audio listeners, that was me. That was not a video of Hugh Jackman singing happy birthday.
He's one of those, like, there's some actors that desperately want to be likable and are like, and then you're just like, oh no, you're just a shit. Ryan Reynolds, I think he's a shit. Sorry. Mm-hmm.
Has he done anything overt? I've heard stuff about it. I haven't done a deep dive on him.
Yeah. He can be quite a dick on set and stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's fun. Yeah. Well, it makes sense why him and Hugh are buddies. And I mean, it does kind of click. It does kind of click if they're like,
yeah, yeah, you know. Yeah. It's something. But again, like Timothy, it ain't gonna be you. Like you could have been like the beautiful guy, like the like, you know, you look at like a Jonathan Bailey who's like a really he's no Jonathan Bailey, let me be clear about that, but what I'm saying is like Jonathan is like a little bit more artsy, he's beautiful. I love him.
God, The Greatest Showman's one of my favorite musicals.
You stay on topic.
Sorry, I'm
you
sorry
stay
I'm
on
thinking,
topic.
I can't help thinking about how much this is ruining things for me.
Yeah, process that off the air.
Okay.
But my point is, he could have been like an artsy leading man, you know. Although Jonathan's kind of
a Bailey. He could have been a Bailey.
I feel like Bailey's kind of gotten ripped as of late, but
has he
like,
too?
Not bad.
Okay.
He looks great.
Oh, okay. Oh, no, I think you meant like ripped, and in the sense that he's like gotten shitty.
No, ripped as in muscular. He was in the Jurassic Park film. You know what they do to those men? They're like, hey. Mm-hmm. You will not eat a single carb for 3 years. But I like he could have gone that route, but he's like, no, I am the alpha male. I'm an alpha male who's going to demand my Oscar. It's like,
I just
fit Cinderella.
I just continue to be disappointed by like likable white men in media.
Welcome.
Like, Chris Pratt originally,
go ahead.
But I was like, oh man, this is great.
Yes.
This goes even back further. Let's go back to Growing Pains with Kirk Cameron.
Oh my God! And then you went.
I used to love Growing Pains. God.
Yeah, it's
go
like
back. There's so many. It's so.
But you're
weird.
Right. No, he's a what's his name? Say it again. Chris Pratt.
Oh, Chris Pratt, yeah.
Chris Pratt's another great example of the same fallacy, where it's like you take the most, the fun, he was likable, he was funny, he was self-deprecating, like he was goofy. Now, he was already doing stupid shit like flashing Amy Poehler.
Right, right, which we find out later on.
We found out later. But that was what made him unique and special, in my opinion. And then he's like, throw it away. Take away all my personality. Stop being funny. Only be serious leading man action film guy with no personality. Marry a Schwarzenegger.
Zachary Levi, another one.
Dick.
Yeah. But like another one who like, who I was like, he was like, he had it made. Like, it was all you had to do was not like, support the worst people in the world.
He also pushy. Like, he started being like, no, Shazam is great. And he's like, it failed because of blah, blah, blah. And he was blaming The Rock at one point. It's like, that doesn't work. Like, nobody likes
that. What
was
the show?
That.
I used to watch the show, the show that he became famous on. Chuck. I used to love Chuck. Oh, I like, it was one of my favorite shows. Like, not like in my upper echelon, but like, I watched every season of it. Like, it was a good show.
I mean, if you need that masculine approval, like, you can get that validation solely by red pilling and solely by like saying, like, red, being on the red, the right side, right leaning shit. And I think that, like, maybe they're that desperate for male validation, but it's like, you've lost all the good things about yourself. Like, now, like, I look at Chris Pratt, I'm like, you're boring. Like, aside from not liking him, like, you're just an average
white
guy. You
were Star-Lord. God, you had everything.
Why? Why do you? Why? I mean, it's like Timmy was on his way to an Oscar. Stop it. Stop.
We need more Mark Ruffalos and less of all the rest of the men we've mentioned. Like, it's like,
we have so few men that we can say anything about.
When you even look at voting patterns of men, like, it's not that surprising that, like, if, like, the majority of men, especially the majority of white men, are supporting all the bullshit, chances are it's more surprising than not. Well, when I become, like it's sad that, like, this is, like, I'm stereotyping. But like every time I meet someone, I'm like, oh, like even like other creators, it even happens. It's not even like it's only conservative creators. There's so many leftist creators that have been outed as horrific people as well. Like I meet someone, especially if it's a white dude, and I'm like, don't disappoint me.
I know. Same. I'm like, please. I mean, I have a lot of white men that I'm friends with, but the thing is, like, and I, you know, I'm a white woman, so there's similar.
Audio users.
I thought you were Salvadorian.
Audio listeners, you need to go watch the video of this show on YouTube.
Jessica, not a single person did not know I was white. Not a soul. They're like, yeah. That vocal fry, that tone of, that annoying, But what was I saying?
I don't know. I never really listened.
I had a... Rude. I had something to say. What were we talking about?
We were talking about like,
But like, oh Jesus. No, but like if you're a white guy and you only are friends with white guys, like there's a high probability that you're around racism, that you're around homophobia, like that you either actively participate or you give a pass to. I think that's the reality of the culture of white men in the society. Now there are
I would say a really good test for me recently, and it's worked almost every time online, is when there's like a big creator that I'm like, oh, I kind of like this person. I go look at who they're following.
Yes.
And like if we have nobody in common, or like the only people we have in common are like mega celebrities or something like that, I'm like, this is not gonna end well.
Do you know what mine used to be? Then there was some drama with Lizzo, and then like she came out. Yeah. She came out talking about. Didn't she talk about like Jay-Z?
She was talking about the Epstein files.
You stole an apple. I'm like, girl, what are you talking about?
Yeah, that was.
Anyways, but before that, I used to. If you ask people before there was any of that, you could ask men about their thoughts on Lizzo, and like it would come out. Like racism would come out. Fat phobia would come out. Like. People would feel comfortable talking shit, and that was a really good test for a long time for me. Anyways, point being, Wait, was our point like be wary of white men?
I think we just made a really kind of like racially charged statement.
I just realized that was our whole point.
I think our point is like, I don't trust white people.
Oh, man. Cis, straight, white men.
Yeah.
You do have to be careful.
Not all men.
Thank you.
Well, here's what I can say. This the conversation about these things always cracks me up because it's like I've been privy, obviously, as someone who is very white presenting, right, in my day-to-day life, I've been and who like has been in mainly communities of non-white people, and a lot of my things I've been interested in, like hobbies, things I've done for in the past, I've been privy to conversations about how white people are terrible. And I've never been like, can you guys just clarify, is it okay that I'm here?
Not me,
like,
though, right?
Are you talking about me? Like, can you just make sure to tell me that you think I'm one of the good ones?
Can you stop talking about your pain for a second and just
real quick,
validate
I just need, because I stopped I checked out a long time ago, and I need... In order to check back in, I need you to coddle me and tell me that I'm, you know that I can't do anything wrong, right?
I felt slightly insulted earlier on, and I just was doing an inner monologue in my head about how I'm one of the good ones. Could you just really quick tell me I'm great?
Just pat my head or something and just be like.
Give me a wink.
Give me just, you know. Is it okay that I greet people when I'm walking like this?
I do that. I do a weird, this weird smile thing. I'm like, I'm just trying to say I'm cool. Like, I'm not. I'm trying to say, like, I have like a neutral face a lot. Like, I have a very expressive face if I'm actively like engaging with people. But when I'm thinking, my face like freezes and goes neutral. And so if you catch me like at the wrong time, I'm like, staring into the darkness.
I don't think I shared this with anybody because I was so horribly embarrassed by it. But I got really when those videos kept coming out of them making fun of people, they go,
"You gotta tell them what it is." It's like this. It's like this smile.
It's like the weird like half. It's like almost like a grimace smile. It's a weird smile and not smile at the same time and a nod.
Pass people on the street.
Yeah, I got so in my head about it that I like freaked out and I went for a walk and then I winked at someone as I walked by.
Why?
And I was like, don't,
so much
what are
more
you,
scary.
It's so much worse. And I had to stop.
Winked?
I was like, I was like, and she like laughed. It was a woman that was walking by on like this little trail, by the way. And I immediately, I was like, I don't know why I did that. I am so sorry. I had to stop and like apologize. And now we see each other because we're in the same neighborhood. Every time she sees me, we like, it was like this weird little like chuckle about that moment. But
I winked at her.
Because I was free. I was like, don't do that. Because I was like in my head, I was like, oh, I'm going to do something different. I'm going to do like what's up? I was like, I can't do like what. What's up to like this woman I'm walking by? And I was like, but I don't want to do the nod. And so I was like, I was like, no.
So I have contacts and like, I'm very good at like winking. So like my eyes can move like on their, you know, I don't know how to explain it. Anyway, but like, so I like will blink or wink one of my eyes sometimes because my contacts without trying to. So it'll just happen. And I remember, like, I was hanging out with some of my guy friends, and I was like, oh, yeah. I just realized sometimes I wink because of my contact. And they're all, like, look at me like, you wink all the time. I was like, what? They're like, yeah, I didn't know why. I thought it was just a thing you did. I was like, oh, my gosh.
It's just like a little...
Like, because I like just a little blink, but it's like, right. It's not like, there's no, like, energy to the bottom
it's
of
not,
my face.
It's true. A full a wink like, for me is always...
Yeah, yeah.
It's that joke dog. But
yeah. I'm like, how many people have I been winking at? I've probably winked at hundreds of people, and they probably walked away like, what a freak.
No, you're breaking hearts. You're breaking hearts. You wink at these guys and they walk by and they're like, oh no.
I'm sorry.
Should I go for it?
A wink that doesn't have energy at the bottom of the face is alarming. It is not attractive. Yeah. Just those.
I do think I could see a secretive wink. Maybe they think like, oh shit, is there something going on?
That's like I'm so doing Morse code with my eye.
Like just say, hey. Like, I get it. They're walking away thinking, like, does she think I'm part of a club that she's in or something like that? Is there, like, some kind of code? You know, because you can do a subtle wink. If someone did that to me walking by, I would be like, do we know each other?
I don't know. So if I have winked at you against my will and it was confusing, I'm sorry.
I should make a video. I'm going to make a video about that today because I didn't make a video at the time because I was so horribly embarrassed by it.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty terrible. Don't ever do that. I don't even know how I do it.
I don't even know how to do. You do it upside down.
I do like.
You look
upside
like Grumpy
down.
Cat. I just do like a little smile.
I don't do it. No, I definitely do. I do an upside down smile. I don't understand. Does everyone think I hate them? Is this what if I walked by and went?
Yeah, it is kind of grumpy looking.
Oh man.
Everyone's like, that grumpy old man.
That is funny, though, because it does go back to people think I'm mad a lot. Something's bothering Chesco.
Something's on his mind.
I walked by him, and he was just like in his deep frown. He didn't even smile at me. We're friends. He must be. So I'm going to go check on him. Make sure he's okay. Go buy him a drink.
Yeah. Is he all right? Friends, that's all. That's our whole spiel on Timothée Chalamet.
Salvadorian icon, Timothée Chalamet.
Alpha male.
Alpha male.
God, I hope Michael B. Jordan wins. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be weeping if he doesn't win for Sinners.
Yeah. I still haven't seen Sinners. I have to go see it. I have to read it. It's out on streaming right
it's
now,
everywhere.
Right?
Everywhere. Yeah.
I see like a movie a year and are all animated. Leave
me
alone.
I need you to appreciate this. He did so well in this is not revealing any of the plot. Mm-hmm. I won't even say which brother, but they're two twin brothers. The twin brothers, mm-hmm. right? So two brothers. He mm-hmm. was so good at being different, like physically embodying the characters mm-hmm. differently. One brother has dimples and one brother does not.
Interesting.
Like he didn't move his face in ways
in a certain way to make mm-hmm. it. Wow. Mm-hmm. All right.
It's well, I'm gonna so be looking good. For that. I love him. I've loved him, but he. I think he's exceptional. That I'd much rather watch mm-hmm. that than I would a ping pong film. Sorry to Mark. Sorry to any ping pong lovers.
I actually don't think. Wait, hold on, real quick before we end this. I want to see what the Oscar nominees are. I don't think I've seen a single.
Sinners. So I think the Leonardo is up for that fight another day, fight something. Fight all day or something.
I didn't see any of the Best Picture nominees, any of the Best Actor nominees, any of the Best Actress, any Best Director. Well, let's go to supporting. Didn't see any of the supporting. I did see K-Pop Demon Hunters, which is nominated for
Yay!
Best Animated Feature. And Elio and Zootopia 2.
Okay, well, you have one dominant category.
That is the category I have seen. I have not seen a single movie in any of these other than the animated films.
What's
so
new?
I'm hoping that gives me some leeway for having not seen Sinners.
Sinners is very good. I liked it a lot.
All right, everybody. Well, we love you.
We'll see you next week.
See you on the Patreon. Bye.
Maybe.
Hopefully. Okay, well, see some of you on the Patreon. We have a whole pre-show again. Love you guys.
Love you. Bye.
Bye.